You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. We have hit episode 32, and I am one of your hosts. My name is John Grigas.
And I'm Josh Crawley.
And I'm Troy Petrie.
And we are glad to have you. Our episode today is sponsored by Westfield Comics. Westfield Comics is located in two places in Madison, Wisconsin. One on the east side, just off of Willie Street, and one on the west side, off of Mineral Point Road, behind the Westtown Mall. You can also do business with Westfield online at www.westfieldcomics.com. To-your-door service. They'll even give you a 20% discount for ordering in advance. So pull out previews and put in your order. And want to thank them for the space that gives us a chance to record. And we also have donuts today, guys. We are back to Lane's Bakery.
Yes, but you didn't get any apple fritters.
No, they were out. See, and that's
yeah, because they're awesome.
Because I had to, I had to drop off my daughter at school, and so by the time I got there, they were down to still tasty donuts, but no apple fritters. And we got the good stuff in honor of our special guest joining us today. As you heard on the intro, Troy Petrie is here, and if you read Top Cow, frankly, if you listen to the show, you read Top Cow. If you read Top Cow, this man puts a lot of words in front of you every month, because if your book has a Top Cow label on it any time in the last 6 years, the odds are excellent that Troy has done the lettering. So welcome and thanks. Troy's a Wisconsin boy.
Thanks, guys.
You're from around the Milwaukee area.
Yeah, West Allis specifically.
West Allis.
West Allis.
Stallis.
West Allis, yeah.
I do. One of my coworkers here, well, he doesn't work here at our other store and not as frequently, but he actually lives there now these days.
He commutes from Stallis to Madison?
No, he actually moved to Stallis to commute to Milwaukee or Brookfield, maybe. Maybe it's Brookfield. But yeah, so.
That's where my parents
He comes live. Back here because his family's all here and many of his friends.
I'm apologizing in advance for my cough drop and my bass voice every now and again.
Yeah. Troy was gracious too. He actually kind of reached out and just made a contact and said, "Hey, this is crazy. You guys are in Wisconsin and I'm from Wisconsin." And
I love donuts.
After a little back and forth, we were able to pull it out of him that he was planning to visit his parents, so we talked him over to Madison, and we're glad that he came and joined us and hope that it won't be the last time we see him. And we want to talk about donuts, though. So what do you got as far as describe your favorite donuts or where you like to go, what do you like to do about that?
I'm not unlike Homer Simpson, so I'm not picky. I just love them, but I don't have them as often as I would like since been trying to get in shape to not be Homer Simpson eventually, so they're few and far between and appreciated a lot more because of that. Like the whole time I've been home at my parents, I've probably had 6 times more donuts than I have in the last couple years.
Well, that's what
donuts and cough drops,
about.
Like I said, unfortunately.
So you're on vacation, but you were telling me earlier that you've lettered 2 books while you're here on vacation already.
Yeah, I did one of the pilot season books called City of Refuge. And the other one was the next issue of Magdalena, which is number 10. Yeah, I love that book.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. It's been nice that they put that back on a monthly track and
just to totally interject and talk about preview stuff that we haven't even talked about yet. Next issue's cover being solicited has Patience with the Witchblade and the Spear of Destiny. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that got to do. So, in the meantime, we just have some questions about Artifacts 13 to ask you.
I can neither confirm nor deny these questions.
We expected that. We also promised we wouldn't walk into that territory, but I might joke about it a couple more times. So
what happens is Superboy punches a wall, and then it affects the Top Cow universe and the Marvel universe.
And then we're back to a multi-Top Cow universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I went through...
And then new Top Cow.
N-U.
Right.
N-U hyphen C-O-W.
That's good. So Philip Savlik is viciously working on copy right now. And Troy, if you know Top Cow, Troy, you're extremely prolific. I went to just comicbookdb.com a little bit earlier today because I was just going to kind of get a gauge of how many titles that you're listed as having worked on. And frankly, I just got through C. In the letter A, you've lettered 66 books that start with the letter A, according to comicbookdb. And it's pretty similar results on through the alphabet. So do you have any idea how many books you've worked on?
None whatsoever. Since I've been at the Cow, it's been every title for 6 years, and there's, usually 4 to 8 titles a month. And before that, I started off at Comicraft, where I did Amazing Spider-Man and Peter Parker Spider-Man, Iron Man, Gambit, stuff like that. Everything from CrossGen, or half of everything from CrossGen was...
Since you mentioned that one book, Gambit...
I don't know why I mentioned Gambit, really. It was one of the first things I did.
But there's this funny running joke that some of my friends and I have where every time Gambit gets mentioned, we say 300 years. That goes way back to the animated series. And I'm assuming it has something to do with the guilds fighting.
Everyone's nostalgic about that series,
yeah.
Actually.
That's good.
Which I don't get, because I didn't even like it as a kid.
Really?
I still don't like it now. Wow. Well, I was a big Jim Lee fan. And it looked nothing like Jim Lee designs. So
messy animation too. Yeah,
that's an understatement.
But well, at least you fulfilled your obligation to your friends now. So
I have for 300 years.
So now
I always love the random Cajun accent.
So that means you started in a studio environment then for lettering.
Oh, also real quick, CrossGen. Did you do a bunch of Ron Cyan stuff?
Most of Cyan and all of Sojourn. And
about
exactly half the books, basically.
Science,
I was in a studio at both CrossGen and Comicraft, actually. Comicraft was a small office. Actually, probably not too small. It was probably about this size. And there were a half dozen of us or so, and, you were delegated. I was the Spider-Man guy, and a couple of the other guys were specific DC guys. So that's one of the few things I've never lettered is any, DC proper books other than, this book is due yesterday, so we need this page lettered fast. So I did some of those.
And there have been a couple Top Cow DC crossovers. Did you have a chance to get involved in any of those?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't able to. And I love that sort of stuff, too. I wish I would have been able to do any of the crossover stuff, including Marvel.
Yeah, but you did do the Daredevil Magdalena, though.
Yeah, that was one of the favorite things I've ever done, actually, because Daredevil's my favorite character. And actually, Magdalena is becoming my favorite Top Cow character, I think, too. And I'm just a big fan.
Trumping Sarah? Stuff.
I still love Sarah more just because the way Ron has written her all these years, she feels like the most real character in the universe to me, where it's like a good TV show or a movie where you just sort of miss that character, basically.
Yeah.
But I definitely like Patience.
So we have, just kind of in a related note, and I expect another cough here, we've got between us and some of our listeners and then also the guys over at Image Addiction, we're starting a Deadpool now for Patrick Gleason, and we don't really know how it's going to happen, but we kind of have an issue in mind. And can you give me any kind of hint about that?
Do you have a specific issue in mind?
Yes, we do, actually. I know that that Michael Smith with Image Addiction does, and I'm thinking actually it's going to be on another title than he thinks. But
how soon do you think?
Well, he's thinking like Artifacts 13 era, and I'm thinking it's more like it'll be more of a Witchblade book event, but you never know.
I'm apparently one of very few fans of Gleason, like I really am. So there's been many a time, too, where I'll email Ron angrily. I'm like, something seems like you're going to kill him any second now. And I know fans don't like him, but she needs a foil like that. And I like the fact that he's a cool character and he's not overly badass and not overly cool, but he's not a male damsel in distress either. Yeah, so.
See, it's not that I don't like him. I like him.
Yeah.
I just really get the feeling he's dying very soon.
I'm not sure. I'm really not.
And what I'd like to see, because then, now, Philip wrote in a couple Witchblade issues ago, he wrote a little short about Gleason. Well, I guess it was the annual. Where they were, the firefighters
I thought it was 144.
Reminiscing about him. Okay. So
the anniversary
I just
issue.
I know it was an issue not long ago. Yeah. And I liked some of that. And
Philip wrote that?
Yeah.
You guys would know more than I.
And he, what I like is that I have enjoyed seeing his work alone when he's not with Sarah pulling out the Witchblade and stuff like that. So I'd be totally fine to see him continue in the universe. He has held an artifact before, and so I could see him wielding another one.
There were those two issues recently where he went upstate where it was just Gleason. Oh, and I really love those.
Oh, the Matt Smith issues.
I would like more. Yeah. And, did you like Matt's art too?
Oh, I've loved Matt's art since Day of Judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a real stylistic decision, but I love it.
Some young guy by the name of Jeff Johns wrote that like 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, I forgot.
Went behind the ears and kind of some movie writer.
That was one of the first things I ever lettered at Comicraft, actually. I was a pinch hitter, basically, where it was, like I said, this book is due yesterday. Letter this page now.
I forgot about something. Oh, where I first was like, Gleason's totally going to bite it, was, I think, Ron's interview with Comic Book Resources about Artifacts. And it was one of those, your child is abducted. What will you sacrifice? Who will you sacrifice? Which got me thinking, oh, there goes Gleason. Because
it won't be Hope.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're not really getting your kid back if you're sacrificing your kid.
Conversely, the only reason... I'm not sure if he is going to die or when or anything like that, but he's not necessarily that important to the universe.
True.
As far as the grand scheme of things, And that's why I am a fan of his, too, because it's not... doesn't always feel like he's plot point number one or anything like that. Where
for me, though, he was the only person I could see that any of the important people had to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Except maybe Tom Judge with Tilly. But I really like Tilly.
A lot of people do, too, so,
Yeah, she's super popular. Yeah. You always have at least three or four books in the pipeline then.
And there's all the other non-Top Cow stuff too.
Working on stuff from Dynamite and Boom, and I'm doing Ron Mars's Shinku from Image Comics.
Yeah, I reordered some of those today.
Are you ready yet?
Oh,
it's great.
I love that book.
Yeah. And the one that I keep telling everybody to keep an eye out for is Josh Fialkov's Last of the Greats comes out in October.
Yeah, that was just solicited. We're looking forward to that.
It's a dark, dark superhero book. It's really, really cool. But
not as disturbing as Echoes?
Not on a grand scheme, yes, but not
yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
We kind of had some jokes going around. If you listened to last week's episode, we reviewed Echoes and talked about it, and we had some mixed feelings about it, and Troy was just beside himself because he described it as one of his favorite pieces that he's worked on.
Yeah,
so.
I love that book to death.
So it is a clone. So now when you get an assignment, I guess I have two questions that are related, and this is a question for you too, Josh, because you do some lettering in the industry as well.
Well, I'll get to hear how someone who does it regularly handles things as opposed to how I handle things.
Right. So and this is probably one of the more common questions that a letterer would get, but how do you get the work to work on? And so if you get three books to work on at one time, do you just work on one book at a time, or do you work a page at a time around to whatever your mood is, or how does that go?
Nah, the deadlines are pretty strict, and I have sort of an OCD-like thing, too, where I can't stand being taken off of one issue to go on to something else. I have a priority list, too, and Top Cow is basically my day job, so they just give me a book at a time and a couple-day deadline, and unless something comes up where it's like... we need this lettered so we can have it for a pitch or for solicitations or anything like that. It's pretty much one book at a time. Sometimes writers do different styles, though. Like Ron Mars doesn't write – I don't get the script in chronological order the way Ron writes it. So sometimes I'll letter pages 7, 8, and 9, and then 21, and then read the beginning later on. So that's why you guys know more than I do as far as the actual stories, because I might not read them until I get the physical copy in the mail.
So how many, what the hell is he talking about moments do you get in a given month?
Very often, and my least favorite part is if I letter page, 1, 3, and then 21. So it's like, okay, now I know how it ends, but don't know the middle part. But it's the way Ron plots it out, too, because, sometimes a fight scene or an action scene is choreographed a lot more elaborately, and that art will take longer, and then there'll be some... expository pages where it's just, 9-panel talking heads and that sort of stuff, where that's a lot more work on my end than it is the penciler's end.
And now
it's kind of like
much harder.
It's like an inverse ratio of time that needs to be spent on it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And now, so a letterer would have a page rate in the same way that an artister would have a page rate. And so does that page rate vary? And now I'm not asking about, but I mean, Does it vary within a book? So if you have more to letter on a page, or if you just have one big sound effect, it's, you get paid the same for each of those pages?
Basically, the logic is has always been you even get paid for silent pages, too, actually, because...
That was my next question.
Really?
I mean, if you...
I got to remember that one.
Yeah, the logic, it always sounds like such a scam. It sounds like I'm basically, you know, asking to be paid for something that I didn't do. But if I have one page where it's just a boom sound effect and it takes me 1 minute to do... Chances are, 2 pages after that, I might have a page that's just got so much dialogue, it takes me 4 times longer than it did to do that one page. So it sort of evens out in the wash, and it's not like the letterer page rates are as high as a penciler, so they sort of, you know, they factor it into their budget, basically.
Though sometimes we're working to fix storytelling, because, oh, hey, look, there's 8 word balloons in this panel, but you left room for half of one.
Yep, yep. That's an editor's fault, too, though. An editor should be the one catching that and realize, you know. That's why we're Top Cow. I've always really lucked out with Top Cow that way. There's never an issue like that where I'll look at a panel and go, did the editors not see this? It hasn't happened yet. So,
how long does it take you to letter the average page?
I don't even know what an average page would be. I end up doing so many in a week. So, because it really could be anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours if it's a really dense page. But
I always feel like I'm super slow, but I'm also on a really slow old single processor, 400 megahertz G4.
Yeah, I'm slower when I'm working from home too, actually, because my laptop's not as fast and internet connection and stuff like that. So, yeah, but like 2 hours is a really rare one, and that's like I don't have any examples to show you right now, but let me see that one. If it's one of those where there's a lot of exposition and there's just tons and tons and tons of dialogue in small panels. Something like that would have taken longer than a normal page just because, you know, narrow panels. But
and those huge balloons that you got to
make fit. Like, that's how I choose which fonts I'm going to use, too, is knowing what the art looks like. If it's, like, sparse and open like that, I'll try and use, like, a classic comic book font. But if it's real, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Artsy-fartsy, more abstract font, you know?
Yeah, I really like that one. That was the one thing I was paying a lot of attention to when reading Echoes was I have to remember to remind myself what font this is.
Yeah, I actually end up using that more often than I should just because I'm a fan of the font. And the font was created by the Comicraft that I used to work for, actually. That's where most of the fonts that I use are bought from.
Quick process question. What type of... Do you use the layer method for balloons?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another one where I don't know why I do that. It was just the way I was taught at Comicraft.
See,
it looks more professional. It doesn't look like you just like literally dropped a word balloon on the page.
Okay.
It's got two different layers behind it.
Because I do, all of mine are, generally I will, because I like the uniformity of having mostly, I guess the uniformity, I'll usually copy and then I'll size them as I need to, and then do... sometimes all new tails, sometimes just use the same tail, copy and paste it, and rearrange it as needed. But every time I've thought about the layer method, it always seems like it would be really difficult.
Nah, not at all. It's one of those where if you use it once, then you'll be set. For some reason, it just looks more professional. It doesn't look as much as like a cut and paste word balloon.
Yeah.
I don't know why, though.
So I shouldn't show you my stuff because it'll look cut and paste. There's some Megamind over there.
Like that, while I look at
the Megamind, because I'd like to hear a critique on the air of Josh's
Megamind. Oh, okay.
First 2 issues.
Oh, okay. I did a couple things for Ape myself. Was that Aaron Sparrow originally?
Yes.
Ah, I worked with him at Boom. Have Letters Will Travel. I end up working for every studio here and there.
And that was actually one where I had to.
This is hard. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I had to match. Especially for, what's his name, the henchman, Minion. I had to match that lettering to what was done in the original digest book.
Okay.
I just changed it up with changing the size of the bubbles on the balloons, which the original, they were all uniform size. And I'm like, well, that's boring. If I'm going to make, if it's going to be a pain anyways, I may as well just make it more of a pain.
This is dense, too. It's a lot of work.
No, that's fine. Just do it closer to the mic so we can hear it.
Man.
That's it. Well, you come to the Wisconsin weather, you start to get the seasonal stuff going on.
As soon as I got on the plane, actually, though, it had nothing to do with the weather, so I think I brought it from L.A. I'm the Gwyneth Paltrow in this situation here, so everyone be careful.
Well, and the way they recycle the air, though, too. I mean, who knows where that plane was that it picked up.
That's true.
Whatever pollen and whatnots, what yeah, it was flying sure. through.
I am patient zero right now. This is really cool looking stuff.
I saw Rise of Planet of the Apes.
I'm rooting for the apes, so I'm fine with that.
That made me never want to get a pet, because I'm worried now that I will have some prick of a pet that's not going to stand up for me and be all like, no, he's one of the good ones. So I'm just worried that...
No, it's just the prick of the owners, I think, where it factors into the Planet of the Apes.
And I would like to have an angry pet, too. I think that'd be kind of fun. So, like I said, I rooted for the apes in that one, but I always root for the villains.
Right.
That's why I'm torn with the whole Artifacts series. It's like, other than Sarah, I'm rooting for the villains, because that's the way I roll.
Yeah, you know, that's why when we talk about the two sides, we're just saying, well, we're just going to take the side of Jackie and Sarah, but it doesn't mean that, you know, just because they're trying to change reality as we know it, that doesn't make them the bad guy necessarily. They don't think they're the bad guy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I mean, just as a fan, too, because I don't know this stuff much more in advance other than when I talk to Ron about scripts. I'm looking forward to the monthly Artifacts series to see what's going to happen after the big Crisis on Infinite Earths ending, basically.
Yeah, that's interesting that they rolled it over. Now, you may not know this, but certainly they've been talking about what to do after Artifacts 13 and what to do at... Did this concept start off that it was going to be a differently named book, and then they just decided to keep Artifacts going as an ongoing, or it just came out of nowhere?
It's been in the planning for a long time, and they've known the end game for a long, long time, too. It's not like a throw-together thing. And the one thing that everyone kept plugging that really is true, that at the end of the series, the changes that happen are major changes, too. It's not a little, you know... Oh, so-and-so might be dead for six issues, that sort of thing. I mean, there's big change.
Patrick Gleason might be dead for six issues.
Until he comes back.
Or 600 issues.
That's fine. Well, as long as they keep Jake gone, I'll be happy, but I have no
Anti-Patrick Gleason. With a yellow
Negative
ring.
Patrick Gleason. Yeah, exactly. Yes. The yellow witchblade. It's really ugly.
He'll have the Warlock Club.
That's nice. Yes. That would be the Warlock Shillelagh.
Ah, yes. There we go.
Some call it a stick.
So now you get Witchblade, you get Artifacts, you get Magdalena, you get the Ron Mars books. I guess for not much longer I'll be able to call Witchblade a Ron Mars book. But you get pages, not always, contiguously. You'll definitely get the whole script once it's all said and done. But do you pick up the books or get the books and read them later to get the story? Or?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of times it won't be until I go to the office and pick up comp issues or in a trade form where I'm really actually absorbing it a lot more, because while I'm working on it, a lot of times I'm not absorbing the plot. I'm making sure that, you know, this artwork isn't being covered, or that the reader's eye flows across the page properly and all that sort of stuff. So something like the book that you just brought out, the Firstborn Broken Trinity thing, was one of my favorite things I ever worked on, because I didn't read it in one fell swoop until it came out in that big, pretty hardcover.
Oh, wow.
And then when I read it that way, I was like, this is a really, really cool story.
Yeah, I mean, that's an impactful book anyway. I can't imagine reading it for the first time in the absolute size.
Yeah, I mean, I read them each individual issue as they happened, but, you know, it was over such a long period of time that I sort of forgot what happened at the beginning. Or in that instance, too, there was like a couple... fill-ins where the artists I'm just a huge fan of, too, so a lot of times I'll just sort of slobber over the art and then realize that's a good story.
Boy,
and Ron's the same way. Ron has a lot of his favorite artists that he still geeks out over, you know.
Now, will you stay on for the Tim Seeley Witchblade?
Yeah. I talked to Tim at the San Diego Con about future plans and stuff like that, but that's another one where I don't really know any of the storylines or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that might be a completely odd question. Like, in the case of Witchblade and Darkness, you came onto books and worked with a pre-established style. With the case of, and I'm just using it as an example, but would there be the possibility with Witchblade, since there's, you know, new direction, new writer, that you could just say, hey, I want to change this up a bit?
I was going to ask, it's up to the writer. I mean, okay. Usually I would just take it upon myself, because no one has complained about anything, you know? Yeah. But I would definitely ask Tim ahead of time, because maybe, for all I know, everyone's treating it like a brand new book once the new team takes over. So I would prefer not to, just because I always like the fact that when stuff is in trade paperback form, it looks like, you know, all uniform and logical. But a lot of the stuff that I've taken over that had pre-established style, I kept some of, like the little Darkling balloons.
Yeah,
were held over, but I changed the main fonts and then the okay. captions and stuff like that. Matter of fact, in Darkness, Jackie's narration font was created by a friend of mine, Dave Lanfear, and I just asked him if I could use that in the book, so that one's not for sale.
So do you, now when actually, you turn work quick, in, you turn oh, it in as you get
wait,
it done?
Wait, okay, I have a quick story about that. Oh. I have a quick not for sale font story, because when I'm having first talked to Troy way back, I was reading Ron Mars's Samurai, Heaven and Earth Volume 1, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, this is awesome, you know, and emailed Ron about it, and he's like, well, you know, let me get you in touch with Troy so you can figure it out. And yeah, that was one of those, I think that was another Dave Lanfear font yeah. that not available commercially, which yeah. broke my heart a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I had a long lettering story too, but the throat's just not there. It would take too long to tell, but it's a good story.
Well, next time.
Yeah, when we come out to Wizard LA, then we'll...
Oh, when is that?
I don't know.
It's like shortly, isn't it? Like October, November?
I know this weekend. This weekend is the PowerCon and ThunderCon.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I was bummed about missing that one.
Yeah. I mean, I get to go see Ani DeFranco for free.
Wow. It's quite the opposite of He-Man and ThunderCats and He-Man are PowerCon, right? How bizarre, mixing them together.
I think, well, because the girl that is running it... or originally started with the help of now of some of the He-Man.org people, helps with HeroesCon. So, you know, experience running conventions is one of those things where there isn't a convention for either one.
Yeah.
And to get both of them off the ground well,
yeah.
why not run them in conjunction?
Is it in Pasadena? Or?
No, it is...
It's not the convention center in L.A.
No, it's okay. one of the hotels
oh, okay.
at LAX.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The Four Points.
Yeah, all those little ones by LAX yeah. where, you know, like Evil Dead kind of.
There's a shuttle.
Tiny little, yeah.
Oh, okay. I like this.
I think one of my friends joined.
I went to BotCon 99 up in the Twin Cities, and it's not even 1,000 people, and it's just hanging out.
Yeah, it's cool. I like those small cons. You get to know people. You get to hang out.
Oh,
yeah.
We have the license for BotCon, and we do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars of exclusives, and I'm like,
oh, no kidding.
This isn't fun anymore.
Wow. Yeah, actually, I've never been to... WonderCon or DragonCon that everyone always raves about. So I'm only used to San Diego, where it's just like, okay, there's a million people here.
That's a zoo. So how many cons do you end up doing a year?
No matter what, I go to San Diego, and I've never missed a year there. But
did you go to C2E2 last year?
Not last year, but the first year I went, and I plan on going
yeah.
from now on.
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year was the second.
Oh, okay. That's why. Yeah. What else? I went to New York Con last year, but not. I'm not going next month. Usually, you know, only driving distance from LA.
Yeah, I did New York Con last year. It was fun.
Yeah, I liked it, actually. It was small enough that it felt like a small con, but, you know, it didn't feel like a basement con is what I always call those, where it's, you know.
Yeah.
Like in Dallas when I was a kid.
The Howard Johnson.
Big Artist Alley there, though.
The Bowling Alley show.
There's a Burnham Bowl in West Dallas, is what I always
That show.
Howdy.
That show still happens.
You're kidding.
Was it like the third Sunday of the month?
I have no idea. Last time
is that
I went
when the
was
Burnham
when,
Bowl show is? Third Sunday of the month? Every time I go to a convention, I drink a little too much and I feel like I just...
As does everyone.
Paul Cornell, like at C2E2 this past year, earlier this year. I was hanging out with a bunch of people talking about the union stuff. Like Rich Johnson had been there, Joe Quesada had been there and left. I'm sitting with Molly, who is now at Challengers, was at Graham Crackers, and a couple other people. Turned out the girl colored the third Weird Worlds cover, and there's this other guy. Thankfully, I'm talking about all this intelligent stuff, and then I find out I'm sitting next to Paul Cornell.
Uh-oh.
I geeked out about all
that. Okay, I was going to say, you didn't accidentally say something about how you hate Paul Cornell or anything?
No. The funny thing is, I didn't geek out about comics, though. Like he did the Father's Day episode of Doctor Who that I love.
Oh, he did Father's Day. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm like,
God, that's one of the best hours of TV I've ever seen.
I'm like,
huh.
And at one point, he's finally like, thank you. But I met Gary Reed at some room party we were up at, which was funny because the Fantasy Football League Ron got me into is one that's Gary, Ian Feller, Pruitts. It was like, hey, Fantasy Football, I think I beat you this season.
There you go. That's always fun, those connections. Do you play fantasy at all, Troy?
Yeah, I'm a complete anomaly in that I don't follow sports in any way, shape, or form. I'm the music, video games, comic book guy, so there's never been a sport in there at all, so I'm a complete...
Great. Tell us about music, then.
I couldn't possibly... it's one of those.
What do you like?
Where I'm. More
I completely forgot you were recording.
Historian, have you been?
I have been, but I'm not going to put some of that stuff in there.
I did not.
But
know
I
that
am
we going to
put other of that stuff in there. Eep. I even announced it. I said,
I don't even remember where. I don't even remember where we left off. At some point you had a Dave Lanfear story. Have you remembered that yet?
No, it wasn't specifically a story. I just I always call him the Obi-Wan of my career, basically, because he's the one that taught me how to letter, and he and I are working on a book together that I'm going to write and he's going to draw, and then we're probably going to have to arm wrestle to see who gets to letter it, but he's the one that got me the job at CrossGen, and that's how I met Ron Myers and Mark Wade, and that's how I ended up at Top Cow. I didn't realize we were recording all this time.
John, sneaky like that.
Did I mention disliking anyone specifically?
You did not. No, okay, not at all. you did.
And on the music tip, yeah, like I said, I'm one of the freaks.
I only have a little phrase to take out, and it all okay. sounds just fine. Be no problem.
Oh, and I also meant to ask if there's profanity on this.
Occasionally, but we generally don't go out of our way.
Amazingly,
to avoid it, so
I think we actually keep the show more PG than Top Cow Books. Which doesn't really make sense in the long run.
Yeah,
but
you don't necessarily try it. It just kind of works out that way.
Okay.
But
cool.
We can go with that.
I curbed my Tourette's for this.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, Disney put out the Incredibles stuff that Mark Wade wrote for Boom. Mm-hmm. And I lettered those, and I love that series so much, and I'm just such a big fan of Wade's stuff. And Disney put it out in a little 96-page digest thing, you know, but at magazine.
Oh,
side.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They just had it completely relettered. Because, you know, I was working at 8.5 by 11.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't translate well.
Yeah, so whoever they had redo it, you know, everything's a lot bigger and a lot brighter and everything like that. But I didn't realize that it was being relettered, and I was so excited to finally have something with the Marvel logo on it. You know, I haven't done much for Marvel in a long time, actually. I just did a couple, like, one-shots here and there. But I love The Incredibles. It was such a cool book.
Yeah, it was.
I wish that...
Sorry to see it start. I'd like to see him resurrect it, maybe.
I think it'd be crazy not to. I mean, between... the Disney Marvel deal and it being a great superhero series, you know.
And would Mark write it again?
I would assume. I know he really enjoyed it, and his voice was really evident in it, too.
It was great. And then he can insist on you as the letterer, and
I would hope
that
so.
Works out.
He's the one that got me the job at Boom. It was fun.
Excellent.
Yeah, a lot of that Marvel stuff, though, is these days seems mostly virtual calligraphy guys.
Except for Dave Lanfear, most of them are. BC,
And Nate Picos does his share of
Comic
stuff.
Still does a couple too here and there.
Anything Jeff Loeb does,
yeah, goes without saying, definitely. Yeah, and Dave does enough now too, where that I just stepped in and did a couple books with him not too long ago, but I don't have any sort of regular Marvel work at all.
To be continued.
Hear that, Marvel people that listen to us?
That's right.
Which I'm guessing is...
Please. Troy would like some moonlighting work. Of course, we're going to keep the pressure on to keep him at Top Cow because it's great to have him working on the books that we're really into. So thanks for joining us. It's been great
me.
For you to come by.
Yeah,
and
thank
I
you.
Hope when you come back to Madison, you'll let us know so we can hang out again.
And not have airplane sickness.
Excuse me.
Yeah, this was fun. We could talk for another 2 hours probably, but... You may not like that.
It's a
that,
slow day at the store. I can just babble.
I don't know. So,
actually,
in any case, thank you very much for listening. Just a reminder, we've got a contest going on. By the time you listen to this, we're probably wrapping it up because the contest is going to end on September 30th when the day ends, wherever you happen to be. That's when it ends. And the contest is easy. Go to Facebook and find our page. We're Donuts and Top Cow if you search us. DOUGHNUTS. And just post what your favorite artifact is. If we can kick it around a little, that's fun. But really, all you need to do is log in. You don't even have to like us, I don't think. You can post without liking us, can't you?
I think they have to like us.
All right, you have to like us. Post
assuming
artifact.
You can figure out new Facebook that they changed like 2 days ago.
Oh, that's true.
Again.
So who knows? The rules are up. And I also have to say, and I really believe, and this is fine, you can like us to enter the contest, and then you can right away unlike us. That's okay. We're not for everybody, maybe, but we can be. In any case, come on in and enter. You will win if you're randomly drawn. a set of the Artifacts playing cards that have been released so far. So it is sweet, and it is quite a collectible, and we'd love to send one to you. And you never know, there might be something special that comes across in it anyway.
Not special, but special.
Something you don't know about. Being included.
Well, you know,
and it won't
special
be
can be taken different ways. So
we tried to mail donuts. It hasn't worked yet, but we're working on it.
So, Troy, what do you think would be something that folks would like maybe is off their radar that Top Cow's doing? Because, you know, we talk about a lot of Top Cow Universe stuff. We talked about Echoes, but what else do you think people, you know, what's worth pushing out there for Top Cow?
Well, this year I know we've been plugging the 15th anniversary of Darkness a lot, what with the new writer coming on board, about 5 issues from now or so?
And yeah, we're going to miss Phil, but we're excited to see the new team once that's totally announced and finalized.
And the next game, next year's video game. And there's also a book called The Last Mortal that we just finished.
Yeah.
It's through the Minotaur imprint. Mm-hmm. That'll be out in hardcover in, I want to say, October or November, written by Phil.
Yeah, that's not going to be out when we do our Christmas special, which is coming up in a couple weeks. That's going to be prominent on our list.
That was a really cool book, and I know a lot of people are buzzing about it. Well, and other new books that we have are Heroes and Villains tie-ins called Epoch and Netherworld. Epoch is, I forget who wrote it.
Yeah, I haven't picked up Epoch, and it's kind of interesting seeing the buzz about it because
Kevin McCarthy. Yes, Kevin McCarthy. Yeah.
Most of the early reviews I've heard is it's a fun story. If you just want to read a fun story, it's a fun story. But it's also a little throwback to some of the 90s Image art style. And I haven't picked it up and looked at it at all. But that's cool. And the
tagline was that it was like it's sort of a supernatural fight club, basically, with all of your favorite mythological creatures just beating the hell out of each other.
Well, it's hard to go wrong with that.
Exactly.
You're just looking for comics, right?
It's really pretty artwork.
And I have been reading Netherworld, and I've enjoyed that. It's got some interesting undercurrents. I'm interested in seeing where that one's going.
Yeah, me too.
I'm waiting for the trade, because that's how I roll.
You're killing us!
No.
I'm kidding. I do the same. What else we got coming up? You guys would know. Got some stuff.
Well, pilot season's a big thing, and we're looking forward to talking about that coming up.
Yeah, pilot season, like I said, just lettered two of the new ones. The other one was Josh Fialkov and Rasan Ekedal's The Test. And then I...
Oh, so the Echoes team has another book. Yeah. I didn't notice that Rasan Ekedal was on that as well.
I think we... Maybe those are in next previews? There was four in this previews and four next previews.
Oh, could be.
So maybe,
yeah, I think it's
could November, be, because I saw that Josh was writing a book. I just didn't know that Rasan Ekedal was also working with him still.
Yeah,
so
it's not in the same
black
and white wash style, though. It's a color book.
So it's in the Top Cow, not
and
the Minotaur.
If we had discussed it, I would have probably drank Amp that day, so.
That's right. That's got to be our covenant.
That could be the new gimmick.
So that's
it's
cool.
It's the new previews gimmick, yes. Yep. New drinking.
That's a good idea.
So until then, have a great week.
Good journey.
See ya.